seated. So where did you get to?
Right. I have to say I did get a bit confused. I'll try and talk it through as easily as possible. So I've got three scenarios which might be easier to talk through. So if the date were to be the 1st of July and the 3rd had been replaced, then the 3rd priority would not go on the appendix of the 4th and 5th priorities, so therefore they would not need to cease taking on receipt of notice from the 3rd because they weren't listed in the appendix of the 4th and 5th.
And is that so even though 3rd had not replaced, or not surrendered the permit?
Yes, because it had been replaced by the 1st of July. So then scenario number two, if the date was the 1st of July and the 3rd hadn't been replaced,
I'm just writing the note, and it's even...
So when you talk about 1st of July, you mean that's the commencement date for the new consent?
No.
The replacement consent?
No, I'm meaning if the 1st of July was in the definition of at paragraph 27.
Right. Your scenario two.
So scenario two. So if it was the date was the 1st of July in that definition and the 3rd hadn't been replaced, it would go on the appendix of the 4th and 5th, and therefore the 3rd could exercise its priority over the 4th and 5th. The third scenario is if there was no date, it would be based on what applications had been replaced at the time the conditions were being imposed on the consent being considered.
Say it again. So if no date, then?
It would be based on the applications that had been replaced when the application, or when the conditions were being imposed on that consent. So say the 3rd had been replaced a month earlier, it wouldn't go in the appendix of the 4th and 5th.
Now that 3rd example, was that taking into account that wording which is on the screen, so that hasn't been replaced by resource consent?
Yes.
So the effect of that wording may have unintended consequences in the absence of a date?
Yes. I did consider what date would be better, but it's dependent on the wording of the definition, if it, I think. If you want more consent priorities to be listed in the appendix of the lower, it's better to have a date further in the past.
Not in the future.
Not in the future. If you have a date in the future, you'll have less priorities in the appendix in the subservient. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. And that's because more permits will have been replaced.
Yes.
Between your date in the past and the 30th.
Yes.
So if you're thinking about the date options, we had the 18th of March 2020, I think, is an option. Might have that wrong, but...
Yes, I think that would be the better option to get the most amount, well, some bad English, of priorities on the subservience in their appendix.
Okay, and so where would you insert the date?
That hasn't been replaced by a resource consent on or by date X. Think about that. By 18 March 2020 hasn't been replaced by resource consent. should be a deemed permit perhaps instead of the. I wonder whether I might have you think about a fourth example. If there was no date and there was no additional wording in terms of the replacement, would it pick up all historic priorities?
So if it said all deemed permits and nothing about replacement or date,
yep,
then that would include all priorities on all permits that were within that catchment.
So what is important, regardless of which definition is used, is that it have four elements as definition. So it seems the four elements for that you're defining deemed permit as having the same meaning in section 413 RMA, that the definition referred to rights of priority, definition referred to the deemed permit is a permit that has not been replaced by resource consent, and the fourth element being on or by 18th of March or whatever the date is. Oh, I know how to do it, yeah. Okay, right, all right. No, I don't. It's not that easy. But but it has those four elements.
Mm-hmm.
Reference to the RMA,
mm-hmm,
reference to the rights of priority, and I went on to say which are conditions of a deemed permit, and you may or may not need that if you've got 413 there.
Mm-hmm.
Reference to the thing not being replaced by a certain date. It has those four elements. They're really important to get out. That's for the definition of a deemed permit. Yep.
Yes.
And the idea that somebody has a higher right of priority was being rolled into your definition, both in relation your definition of water permits. So you had both things: what is a water permit, and then what is a water permit, and then with a higher right of priority. And I separated those out.
I see no,
mm,
I take no issue with the separation,
mm,
and again the. As long as those essential elements come through.
Mm. Yeah, that you are dealing with a higher right of priority, so the, in my case, the upstream deemed permit holder.
Yes.
Mm.
The downstream?
Yeah. Oh, well, what I've written here, and it's been slightly amended, but the amendments aren't up on the screen, but deemed permit, the downstream permit with a higher right of priority, that's the phrase,
yes,
being defined. And that is a deemed permit that is subject to a deemed conditioning entitling the permit holder to require another upstream permit holder to cease taking water. Or to require another upstream deemed permit holder to cease taking water.
And an upstream deemed permit holder.
Yeah, upstream deemed permit holder.
Past tense, or it's reflective of a point in time when it was the deemed permits that were in play.
Mm. All right, tell you what. We thought this was something we could issue a minute about. We also thought we could issue a minute over the schedule because we won't have enough time, and it just might be easier to do it that way.
Oh, now which schedules? The
methodology schedule.
Yes, mm. Commissioner Bunting's schedule.
Yeah.
Not the TA or the hydro schedules.
No. That's just subject to
some standard decision on merit.
Yeah, it is. So that requires technical issues as to law to be worked through, and they are complex the way they've been presented, and we haven't heard your scope argument, your legal response argument.
Yes.
So that has to be resolved, and that also has to be resolved in a broader argument. In the broader argument of the three MPSs as well, and the fact that they've been brought down, picked up by a RPS for the first time. And so it's not just about understanding the law in relation to TAs. You might have a perfect understanding, but then is how does that then sort of rub against the other two MPSs? It has to be understood in that. So you're looking at the substantive decision for that. So. But that then starts to describe our four corners, if you like, of potential decisions. Yeah. Mm. Mm. And then making a decision, and if required, we may not. It may not be necessary directing amendments, directing amendments.
Yes.
Mm. But that's much, much later. Mm. But the minute we think we can get out by the end of the week. I understand what's important for you, Ms. King. So you think a later date, not a forward date, is important when it comes to making this all work?
Yes, I think that gets more priority holders in the appendix than a further forward date.
Yeah. And you understand that?
Yes, yeah. I do.
Do you agree with that?
Not entirely. I wonder whether the date's actually closer to now, as in 1 July is the date I've had in my mind, and the reasons there is that it will ensure that permits that have been replaced up until that, or up that date, aren't resurrected in terms of the priority tree, because they've been replaced on their own terms up to that point, with no expectation that they would be retaining a priority.
Yeah. So even though they're not surrendered, there was no expectation. That'd be fair.
Yes.
There was no expectation, and so there cannot be any reaching back into that pool of potential persons. You know.
And I do agree, and I think there is a slight issue that the conditions won't match. So you'll have a subservient condition, which states what a notice needs to look like. But if you have, for lack of a better word, a dominant permit holder that is listed in that appendix and doesn't have the advice note with what a notice needs to look like, it might get a bit complicated.
Yes. So if the date was 1 July, any dominant permit holders renewing would have the advice note coming down onto their permits?
Yes.
Yep.
If you are the dominant, though, presumably, would there be a need for a condition on your resource consent? Or would the condition be that I'm entitled to tell the subservience to turn off?
Yes, I think that's outlined in the JWS as an advice note.
As an advice note.
Because it's voluntary.
But is an advice note enough? Because these things don't actually have a line. give them some statutory force, do they?
The submission I'd make on that is that the right arises by virtue of the condition on the subservient permit, as opposed to the dominant. So there doesn't need to be a condition on the dominant, but it's helpful to have the advice note, which is the machinery to capture the contact and the notice requirement provisions.
So what would help me, because there's quite a bit of text in all of this, and I don't think it's actually captured the issue that you're wanting to close out. So it would help me if you capture the issue you want to close out, and the mischief, what is the mischief? If you put that to us, then we can at least think about that in terms of drafting and come back in a minute. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because I sat there and thought, no idea. no idea why we're doing what we're doing. Yeah.
Mm. Yes, and having spent a little bit of time thinking about it, I keep coming back to the point that there is a need for a date and there are reasons for the date, but there are different consequences depending on when the date chosen is. And the three examples Ms. King stepped through, I think, highlight the differences in effect of having a different date.
You've got policy choices that we need to be informed about, really.
Yeah. Why policy choices?
Well, they're choices in terms of the rule framework you want to have it exercised, and what's the principal basis for picking whatever date or no date or whatever it is you're doing.
Yes.
I think that's what I'm struggling with.
It's the explanation. There's two explanations. One is why a date might be required, and then two, why is a particular date required?
Mm. Yes, I think that's right.
And maybe there's sort of the costs and benefits kind of side of the equation as well, isn't there? And how it relates to the objectives and policies. So,
ultimately, sitting in the background,
about Section 32.
Yes.
Efficiency and effectiveness, and all those other good things.
So you'll come back to us perhaps tomorrow or Thursday with a precise articulation as to the matter in relation to the date. First, why a date is needed at all, and secondly, why a particular date might be chosen. And I've noted that the mischief that's thought to be avoided by putting a date into the plan change is that you don't want a subservient consent holder being subject or being required to turn off or cease taking water, or being subservient to a resource consent that formerly had priority but no longer has priority. That's the thing
Spot
that you
on.
Wish to close
yes.
out. Yeah. So I think I understand it. Should remember it tomorrow morning. So complex. Should remember it tomorrow morning. But I think it's going to be really important just to capture it for us, and then we can reflect back what we think might work, either your wording or our wording or both, you know. And if you had any ideas about that wording too, you should come back to us about that. Yeah. Not wedded to anything except making something which is effective. Yeah.
Yes, I think we are all aiming at that outcome.
Mm.
It's a complex issue, is the reality of it. Some days it seems really simple in terms of just the concept of it comes
conceptually
down.
Conceptually it seems really, really simple.
But the drafting of it's challenging, but surmountable, I would.
It's surmountable, yeah. It's a bit like this plan. Conceptually, it's really, really simple.
Yes,
but
yes.
It's actually not in terms of the implementation.
It's unusual is the plan, but it's simple in terms of what it is seeking to do, but it's, yeah, when you come to the drafting through the lens of how one might normally go about drafting a plan, it's a unique specimen.
Well, it's like nothing I've encountered in the last 12 years or anything that I'm familiar with. Mm. Yeah.
Mm. Nor me, none of it.
Yeah. Yeah. If it's any, you thought it was the hardest decision that you had to make. That's like, in terms of the degree of difficulty, this is at the outer edge of it, in terms of the cases that we encounter, even though there are a few provisions.
Yes.
Mm. And it's not like the New Zealand Coastal Policy Statement, where it was just policy that the board that I was on was recrafted.
Mm. Mm.
Officials got another go at that.
All right, so do you think you could do that by tomorrow or Thursday?
Yes.
And we'll be thinking about it along those lines that we've discussed. Yep.
Are you happy for me to pick that up in our closing submissions if that's a place to drop that?
Sure, only if you have time, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Because I don't want you to rush it, and and that's, I guess, in part reason why we're sort of push pause, I think, is your phrase, on community water. Yeah, and we will.
Yes. Okay.
Yep.
Well,
that's probably all we can do from us, because we won't have time to go through. Well, we could if you wanted to go through the schedule, but.
So, is the plan to issue a minute just with some further questions of clarification?
Yes, I think the way that I haven't actually seen what the edits are, but I thought that you could issue a minute and either attaching, the provisions with comment boxes, but it could get quite full, or a table. Comment boxes, alongside the schedule with the edits into the schedule, or you could actually have a table like the witnesses have it, saying replace this by that and reason, So there seems to be, as far as I understand it, inconsistent use of terms, but it may not be. They may be deliberate, but they haven't actually been explained. So we're just trying to nail that one. That's actually the easiest task, or should be.
Mm. Which does make me wonder whether it would actually be more efficient for those questions to be put to Mr. De Pelsmaker in the first instance.
Oh, you can do. So are you all ready for that?
Yeah, okay.
I haven't seen the question.
Ah, right.
I've been busy with other things.
It may narrow down what... Mr. De Pelsmaker will be able to say whether he can actually answer it or not, which may then inform whether...
Yeah, it does occur to us that this might be for another expert like Mr. Leslie, but on the other hand, if Mr. De Pelsmaker and Ms. King do not know what is in the schedule, then we've got real problems, because either they have explained it in plain English or they haven't.
Mm. Well, I see some benefit in the questions being put to the witnesses.
All right,
we may not thank me, but we'll see how we go.
We've got that ready to go up the screen? Yeah, it's there now. Okay.
Yeah, well, I sort of apologise coming at the last minute. I thought I'd get my head around this, going through some other things that occurred to me. The first one is in 10A4.1. You'll see there, and I've had a go at editing this, but perhaps not correctly. There's a term called... measure maximum rate of take, and it's in caps. Can you see that?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then I went across to step four. Have you got that there? Step 4G. And it refers to the maximum typical rate of take. My question was, are they the same thing? Because it would appear to me they are. But and the wording's slightly different. You'll see at the start it just says maximum rate of take. In a G, it says the maximum typical rate of take. I'm not sure. Maybe it requires the, you know, Mr. Wilson or
something. They are the same thing.
They are the same
thing? They are the same thing, yes.
And if so, should... I wondered why in the... the start of the document, why it's shown, you know, with caps. What, was that really that was necessary?
They're not really necessary. I think why we are referring under the heading 10A41 to maximum rate of take is because it's a historical, it's a sentence that was put in there before we actually arrived at the removal of atypical data.
Okay.
Now, there is one... There is one issue with that, is that the procedure for removing atypical data does not apply to all uses, so it doesn't apply to community water supplies or hydroelectricity.
That's okay. I think that's covered.
Yeah,
that's covered.
So I don't think it's appropriate to change the wording maximum rate of take to maximum typical rate of take.
At the start. Should it be in caps or should it just can't just be in
it just can be
lowercase.
Lowercase,
yes.
So the maximum rate of take is the same as maximum typical rate of take for any takes other than community water supply and hydroelectricity.
So for consistency, should the word typical be removed because or included in both places?
No, I think it's fine as it is, to be honest. Yeah. Because what you end up with when doing step 4, A to G, that does, step 4, A to G does not apply to hydroelectricity generation. Sure. So you still need to do calculate a maximum rate of take for those uses, but you don't apply.
Okay.
Step 4.
So
I think there's a deliberate difference. Yeah.
I understand that. Okay, but you take out the caps and the
yes, that can be done. Yeah.
Okay. And my next question was the relationship between that and the rate of take limit, which is in the 5. Is there a relationship between the maximum typical rate of take, is that the same thing as the rate of take limit, or is it something different?
Because my understanding is they're different, because the maximum rate of take applies to a water year. Whereas the limit is the maximum of that. Yeah, the limit is what goes on the consent. This is the allocated volume.
Well, it's the take, yeah. Rate of take. Mm.
Yeah. clear. I think it might be best that I clarify it to make sure with Mr. Wilson.
Could you do that overnight? Is he around to do that?
Yep.
Yeah. And then the next one was, it's a sort of similar theme throughout 10A4.2.
Could I just go back to 5 and 10A4.1?
Yes.
So where it says will be determined is the maximum remaining value after steps 1 to 4 have been completed. Wouldn't it just be the maximum value? What does that word remaining add?
I think that, the word remaining just refers to you need to go through all
you've
the steps.
Yeah, you've gone through the steps. So I found that a little misleading.
You could take it out, yeah.
And hence, was my question, is it the relationship between the maximum typical rate of take and the rate of take limit. I mean, anyway, you're going to check on that. So.
Sorry, is that?
You're going to check with Mr.
Yep.
Wilson on those. So in 10A4.2, again, it's just in the first couple of lines, the maximum daily volume shown in caps. Again, should that be? Should that be lowercase, or?
You could make it lowercase, yeah. Mm-hmm. We just kind of put it in caps just to kind of,
Encapsulate
that it's a concept.
Mm-hmm. And then you come down to G, which is in 4. And again, this is sort of a mixed use of capitals and. Well, maybe that was deliberate.
No, that's an oversight, probably. It should either be all.
It would be consistent with what's
consistent,
in H, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
And it was just the question there again, the relationship between the maximum typical daily volume and the daily volume limit. So it's the same. The same question, really.
Yeah.
And then 10A4.3, the same in the heading, it's just used that caps term.
Yeah.
And where I got a bit confused was in the methodology under 1, the authorised monthly limit. It should say consented. I think there's an ED missing after consent.
Is it? Consented?
Consented, is it?
No, it should be authorised.
Authorised is okay, but the use of the term consented in brackets just says consent.
That is correct, yeah.
Yeah. What confused me, it said consented daily volume or calculated daily volume. Which one is it?
The calculated daily volume applies when you have a deemed permit that does not have a daily volume on it.
Okay.
So there's no consented daily volume. So there, my understanding is the daily volumes are calculated using what's on the deemed permit, which is often liters per hour. Or heads.
Mm. See, they didn't seem. I couldn't find how that was calculated.
Maybe there needs to be
how do you calculate the daily volume?
Extrapolated.
That needs to be explained. Yeah.
And is it? how do you determine which applies? Because it just says or.
So is it in the same formula?
No, it says the authorised monthly volume is the consented daily volume.
Yeah.
Or the calculated daily volume.
Yeah.
Now, is it, how do you decide which it is?
It will depend on the nature of the permit. If you have a resource consent, the consented daily volume applies. If you have a deemed permit that does not state a daily volume, it is being calculated by whatever rate of take is stated on that permit. So the or is okay, but I agree that it needs to be made explicit, or there needs to be some kind of an explanation around that.
Good, okay, thank you. And again, the relationship between the authorised monthly volume and the monthly volume limit, which is in, I think they've lost a para heading there. And when we go to annual volume, the same thing, just in the heading. And again, that there's a term, that calculated daily volume, which is in the you'll see there, yes. And the question, the relationship between the authorised annual volume and the annual volume limit. What we did wonder was whether some little table of definitions might assist, do you think?
Within the plan change or within?
Within this schedule.
Plan change, yeah. That might.
Concepts thereafter.
Yeah, we try to do that as much as possible already.
You do. So what terms are missing that you think?
Oh, I think
the in-house calculation of calculated daily volume, isn't it? That's an in-house calculation which you're doing already on a replacement consent, so that's missing. But anything else missing, or is everything else being picked up on the way?
I think so, but it might be good to spell out those terms, though.
Just got to be careful that you don't rewrite what they've written. Yeah.
No.
So if things have been defined as in the schedule, we don't need them to be defined somewhere at the top or somewhere at the bottom. The only thing, is it correct that the only thing that's not been defined is the mathematical calculation to derive a daily volume? So that's about it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Is that right? I haven't read,
that's
with that in mind. Yeah.
I don't know. Commissioner Edmonds, do you have a view on that?
Well, I haven't had a chance to go through that again.
Okay. So just ask yourself when thinking about this, or we'll ask you. Well, you can tell your lawyer. do we have all of the terms now defined, with perhaps that one exception, or are you using language which would warrant, or terms which would warrant a definition?
My understanding is that all the terms have been either defined, or that the process for every single term is set out.
Yeah.
But it might be that some terms actually are the same, and I think that would be useful to make it clear in there, either with a note at the start. For example, the rate of take limit, it might just be that it's simply referring to what goes on the consent. So I think there would be merit in having a little note at the start.
So in that way, the rate of take limit is both a defined term and in a particular way, and as well it is an expression of something outside of the definition. Is that what you're saying?
Sorry?
When you're saying the rate of take limit, that is a defined, it is defined and used in a particular way, but it could be used in a second way. Is that what you're saying?
The rate of take limit is defined.
Yeah.
For example, with daily volume limit and maximum daily volume, it might be better for those terms to be stated more clearly what they actually mean and what the difference is between them.
Got to be careful not to introduce anything that your technical bots won't like.
No,
and everybody else's, you know.
My suggestion was as well, whatever we do, we loop in the other experts, which we've done with this one as well, and it was achieved within a very short time frame.
I guess my concern was while we're here, these things are fairly clear. Everyone's together, they understand, but you know, in a year's time, could there be some misunderstanding or differences of view as to what these things mean, or some of them mean, some of the terms? And I sort of apologise for bringing this to play at the 11th hour. So.
No. Don't. If you have that concern, then it's probably valid. That means that things aren't crystal clear. My suggestion would be, if I may make a suggestion, to clarify these matters through another statement or.
Could do. How do you want to do that?
Two thoughts occur. One is as little as possible by way of additional explanation at the risk of upsetting the way in which this schedule flows. But as I look at it, it's the words in the bracket, the consented daily volume or calculated daily volume, that's the part where I think there might be a benefit from some further explanation that might then also necessitate either some further text in the table or an advice note referring to what it is that each of those is and when which of the two should be used. I think the experts will know what it is.
I think they'll know which one's which.
Yes, and it strikes me as it's a reasonably straightforward explanation, and it was given by the witnesses. It's consented daily volume, if that's the thing in you've got a permit which has that on it. In the absence of that, it's a calculated daily volume and according to formula X, Y, Z. That's the bit that's missing.
We just don't want to be in a situation where someone says the calculated's higher than the consented, so they want to use that one.
Correct.
Yeah.
So it would be which can be explained, I would have thought, with some additional text. But at the moment, that argument could be run, because it simply, as I read it, it's an either or, and I'm not sure who gets to pick which one to use.
Yes, although isn't it self-selecting? Is it self-selecting? One will arise, the first one arises for resource consent, the second one arises for a deemed permit. Or do you have resource consents that... that also have these sort of broad brush.
So, the issue might arise where you have a resource consent, where you have a rate of take and the daily volume stated, but the daily volume is not the rate of take that you would get by applying that rate of take throughout the entire day. And then there's, I guess, a risk there that it opens up the debate. It's clear in my mind what it does, but I don't know if it's
clear in everybody's
stated in here.
You just tell us what's in your mind, and then everybody will know. Because one of the benefits of the schedule were the plan change to be approved is that you've actually now got repeatable, transparent and repeatable methodologies. So that's one of the criticisms. Objectively ascertainable. So that was one of the benefits of the schedule, which, you know, people have been... I mean, I understand how, you know, new methods emerge in councils which are not in their plans, but it's one of the criticisms that at the moment that the methodologies being employed are not that transparent to applicants. So we're wanting to ensure that this is the case here. So whatever you think it is, it's a good starting point, I guess.
Yeah, in my view, consented applies to... You take the consented daily volume, where it is stated on the consent, and you apply the calculated daily volume where your consent, if it is an old consent, or your permit, does not state a daily volume, and you just calculate it by multiplying the rates of take on a daily basis. But that is not clear here because it gives a choice to people, or people could read it as like, we have a choice as to which daily volume we apply, the one under consent or the one that we get by calculating the rate of take or multiplying the rate of take. So
it's whatever is stated on the permit document and the method to calculate daily volume. Daily volume is X. Yeah.
It might just be as simple as just stating consented daily volume or where no daily volume is stated on the permit, the calculated daily volume.
And then the calculated daily volume, presumably there's a formula for that calculation.
Yes.
That's one of the previous.
Yeah, it's steps 2-4 in methodology 10A42.
Okay, so perhaps the wording, and I think it's just if you've read out Mr. De Pelsmaker, the words I was playing with was consented daily volume if shown on the permit being replaced, or calculated daily volume, which is the thing from the previous part of the schedule, which would then provide that clarification as to when you could rely on the calculated.
So you have got a calculated daily volume? Okay.
So I do have another point that's perhaps more in your bailiwick, and that's when you look at things like the control activity and the entry conditions. They, at the moment, say calculated in accordance with the method in Schedule 10A.4. I think all of those should read with the methodology because what the schedule is about. It's a methodology. So there's several of those that will need fixing.
We sanitised the schedule in that regard by taking out
references. Yes, I know. That was one of the problems I identified early on, but it hasn't carried forward into the actual plan, where the rubber hits the road in terms of the plan entry conditions. And
we could leave that for our decision, though, if there's no problems with that in principle. We could note it up in the minute, pick it up.
I guess I'm just saying that's another thing that needs fixing.
That's all right. So how about we just note your answer, it should refer to methodology, not method, in the rules. Is it
correct?
Just the rules?
I imagine so.
And we'll note that up in the minute, and if anyone's got a problem with that, they'll let us know. And then we'll just release that as part of the decision if the thing's confirmed. Yeah. Yeah, okay. Anything else?
Mm-hmm. No,
it's
great that
you've
got a schedule that everyone agrees to.
That's a huge job. Okay. All right. Okay, so that's that.
I think.
Yes, there's 3 minutes to start my closing, which I probably shouldn't do.
No. So, yeah, and so your closing, you want to see where you can land the priorities.
Yes, I will do some thinking about that tonight whilst it's fresh of mind.
Yep. Okay. And you might want. Yep. No, that's fine.
And I shall be reflecting on the community water supplies part of the submissions in light of the discussion today. That's been helpful, and
yeah,
it's something that I'll have to reflect on in terms of the appropriateness of the provisions which had been punted up.
So. Yep, that's okay. So you may not continue to lead with those.
Correct.
You might actually just wait for a decision to come in.
Correct.
About which there are at least four, if not more, but at least four major approaches, different approaches on community water supplies and hydro less so in terms of what the options are there. Yeah.
Yes. Mm. Now I should signal in my closing the. A reasonable chunk, or almost a disproportionate chunk, is stepping through the legal issues associated with the community water supplies questions, and that will take us a bit of time to go through, but they're important legal issues sitting underneath of the court's decision.
So I think parties are completely right when they say, look, hold off. Suggesting any further drafting, because all of this is underpinned by a proper legal understanding of the community water supply issue, not just under the MPSUD, but actually we've got three others as well, and we've got Justice Palmer's decision, which he's never written the resource management decision. Now I to bring down the three strands of the MPS and reconcile them under an RPS and bring them down under an
Never mind the tattoo of various planning document provisions on planning. What if we did that in our decisions? They're long enough now.
And we said this would be a short one, we thought, because we had to get out. But sort of planning framework is both extraordinarily important, particularly with TAs, particularly with hydro, but then having a look at the issues around the TAs' concerns, because it then informs, perhaps it will inform where the four corners, what are those four choices, the choices before us, or are we going to go with one? Are some of the choices, in fact, not choices, because you've got a scope issue and then where the court lands.
Yes.
Mm. Okay. Sounds good. Right. Don't think there's anything else. Don't think you need to address the law and priorities. You've already done that.
No, there's only one paragraph which encourages the court to not have to address the issue on section 124. Yes.
So encouraged. But All right. Now that sounds good. Okay, so what time do you want to start tomorrow?
Ten o'clock tomorrow morning.
That's fine.
You said about 3 hours. Yes, although I said that would only be an hour with the witnesses today and would be done by 4 o'clock, so I have no credibility with time estimates.
We need you to land it. So 10, I mean, even if it's 3 hours, that's fine. And it probably will be 3 hours, because we'll be just taking away your submissions and pondering those as opposed to quizzing you on the hard end. And it is right of us to reflect that this is really actually very difficult. And we get that.
Yes. One sometimes wonders whether it is or it isn't, but it is difficult, and I think there have been a lot of people grappling with these issues now for the duration of this hearing, and they're not straightforward.
They're not straightforward. It's like the deemed priorities, just thinking that you could just somehow cite the word priorities and everything will be sweet, is not straightforward, as your questions about surrender and consent and so forth actually demonstrate. They are not straightforward. It required one heck of a lot of thought, you know, and then to work those up into appropriate policy. And just, slowing the juggernaut of the consenting is easier said than done, you know, because some activities, and that's your client, I guess, would say, can't be slowed, not just like that. And so that requires a lot of thought as well.
Yes.
All right. Nearly there, though.
We're close.
Very close.
Yes.
We are. Look, perhaps with the exception of TAs and hydro, it's not often the case that a plan has been totally rewritten. And so that's not what we're faced. That's not the job we're faced with. You're now faced with what more do you put into it? Not rewriting what is there.
It's the carve-outs, if I can describe them that way, that are presenting perhaps the greatest challenges, both from a legal perspective but also from a drafting perspective.
Yes.
Because the simplicity of the drafting was done in a way that didn't envisage carve-outs occurring. It was a fairly simple lock-it-down, six years, tight policy, tight objective. But to then unpick that with some exceptions actually is... That's where we're finding the complexity to arise.
And that's fair. But
so often the carve-outs are a major challenge, even if not dealing with very mind plan change.
That'll
experience.
Be true too. So it's not
including how MPS is fitting with all of that.
But you know, even so, if they were just two complex things, that's still often a lot better than what we usually get in terms of the court then having to grapple with the drafting and, you know, back editing and then reflecting and, you know, so we are unusual in as much as so much work has been achieved and done. Should the plan change be confirmed, then it is just adding into that what else we think needs to go in, or rejecting that.
Or not.
Yes. Yeah, but it's not about the court having to redraft and reflect back and endless cycles. It's not that, with the exception of TAs and hydro, but I'm sure you'll get there.
Very good.
Okay, very good. Thank you. And we're adjourned through to 10 o'clock tomorrow.
Sure, please.
All rise.